appreciate my wife. I feel like I got the best. I really do. I feel that way. Never for one moment, not for 1 minute, not for 15 seconds have I regretted my marriage. Amen. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I'm not here tonight to try to instruct everybody, but I'd say to you young people, if you wait till you know you've got the will of God in your life, you'll feel that way too. One of the most serious decisions you'll ever make. Be careful, would you? All right. Amen. The two disciples begins to follow Jesus because they've heard him speak. Of course, the Bible says we know when the Sadducees and the Pharisees came and they went back to the rulers and they said, never spake man like this man spake. And the disciples of John's disciples, after hearing John proclaim that he is the Lamb of God, and the two disciples heard John speaking, and they followed Jesus, saying the thing there. And Jesus turns and says, what seek ye? And they began to say unto him, Rabbi, our master, where dwellest thou? If you remember, there's another scripture where he began to speak, and he said, the foxes have dens. In other words, where they can sleep. And in my own words, the birds have nests, but he said the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. But in this case, although we'll probably never know for sure where it was, but in this case, that obviously that he was dwelling somewhere because he told them to come and see. And they came, the Bible says, and saw where he dwell. Now, it's not really my message tonight, but Brother Jamie, I look at this and I think there's so much in the Word of God, and he saith unto them, just listen to what happens here. He said to them, come and see. And then the next thing the Bible says is they came and saw. Does that do for you what it does for me? It probably doesn't. But I'll tell you, it's just a wonderful scripture to me that he says, come and see. And how many times, Brother Jamie, have we said, come and see? And they sat there and looked. You know what I mean? But this was different. He said, come and see. And they came and saw. I preached from a scripture here a while back. Nothing spectacular, but just kind of along this same line that it talks about time that the Bible says that the Lord returned to his own country. And then the very next words, and his disciples followed him. Amen. That's always been. I mean, that's the plan of God, is that we're to follow him where he leads us. I know we sing that song about the foreign lands and all of this, and that's great, and I appreciate the missionaries that are among us and other missionaries. But I want to tell you that you and I have got enough to do right here in the United States of America following Jesus. Help us here tonight, Lord. Well, I hope y'all help me. You know how bored it gets when you don't help me. Amen. And I'm still like Brother L.D. Moore. I don't like dry preaching, especially when I'm doing it. But I began to look at this, and actually I'd been looking at it for quite some time. And when Brother Jamie so graciously extended the invitation to us, when he knew we was going to be in the area, that this immediately came to my mind, and I knew that this is where I was supposed to preach this. So I hope you're praying for me. But actually, this scripture came from another brother when I was preaching the other night, and the pastor got up later and was exhorting, and he mentioned this scripture here where the Bible says, Jesus said, come and see. Have you ever read a book and then later on read the condensed version of that book, where they take out a lot of what they consider an unimportant part and condense it down into a smaller volume? I got to thinking about it, and please don't think, and I know you don't, so I'll just try to quit apologizing. I'm not talking about taking away from the Word of God. The Bible warns us what will happen if we take away from the Word of God. But I'll go ahead, and I'm beginning to see a lot of this. It also warns us against adding to the Word of God.
Yes,
and I'm rambling tonight,
yes,
but
sir.
You're used to that. And I'd have to say that I really believe, and I didn't always see it that way, but anymore, Brother Rodney, I believe I've seen more damage done by adding to the Word of God than I have from taking away from the Word of God. Help me here tonight, Lord. I don't want to get off on that because I got a message for you tonight here if I can get it out to you. But I recently heard about a man that was preaching against these little plastic things that ladies put in their hair. And I said, how foolish. Hello? Because right while he's preaching about these little plastic things that puts in their hair, he's down there with a belt on. And I thought, if you're going to preach on ladies putting plastic things in their hair, then take that belt off and tie your pants up with a bell and twine. Y'all still out there?
Right.
Hey, come on now, help me here. And cut them plastic buttons off your shirt and tie them up, amen, with bell and twine, or make you a button out of a stick of wood or something. There's enough in the Bible to keep us busy without getting out of the Bible. And there's enough in the Bible to keep us on an altar praying and seeking God and more holiness in the Bible than most of us is ever going to live up to without just getting to where you ain't got nothing else to preach and get up and start ranting and raving about something. Amen. Putting burdens upon people they won't bear with their own finger. Help me, O Lord. So I'm not trying to take away from the Word of God tonight. And I'm certainly not trying to add to the Word of God. Amen. But I felt like, Brother Jamie, that if I was going to condense the Bible down to one message, I'm not going to say, you know what that message would be? If I look from Genesis all the way through Revelation, Brother Gerald, and look at the message of the Bible, not just messages that people have preached, but the message of the Bible as an entirety. And I know that Jesus is to be found in every book in the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And you know how much I believe and how much I enjoy on preaching about Jesus. But really the message of the Bible, and let me say this another thing or two here. Different preachers have different messages. And I'm not, again tonight, I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, that we just have a different message from night to night. In a sense, we do. But I've known people that they had a salvation message just about any time they preached. They was reaching out to the Lord. We've known others that had a Holy Ghost message about any time they preached. They preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then we've known a few people, amen, and I kind of count myself in that group that basically has a holiness message. They'll preach other things from time to time. But Brother Rodney, when it's all said and done, I'm not apologizing, I'm not bragging, I'm just stating the fact. I have a holiness message. That is my message. Amen. So we have, individuals have different messages, and after a while, you appreciate them not just for their preaching, but for the message, amen, of all of them. Am I making sense? Amen. Of all of their preaching, all of their teaching combined, they have a message. And if you combine all of the Word of God and you condense it, well, I don't want to use that word, amen, but if you just really narrow it down and say, what is the message of the Bible? And you know I won't take very long. You'll probably get out earlier than you used to. When I get there, it won't take me very long to preach my message, amen. It's just a long ways to get there sometimes. Help me, O Lord. The message of the Bible is one word. And that one word is that was the message in the very beginning.
Yes.
When God walked through the garden in the cool of the day.
Yes.
He did not use that word. His words was, Adam, where art thou? But really, Brother Gerald, and I'm sure not trying to tell you what God was saying. I'm just explaining my own words. God was saying, Adam, I'm here. I'm right here where I've always met you before. I'm right here where you and I walked in the cool of the day and enjoyed one another's fellowship and enjoyed the communion that we had one with another. Y'all still out there? And God said, Adam, where art thou? I'm here to keep our appointment. I'm here, amen, to meet you like we have always met you. The Bible says that the power of God and the salvation has appeared to who? Unto every man. The power of God and the salvation has appeared unto every man. And I came tonight, I hope you all pray for me. I came tonight to tell people that does not know the Lord. People that has never met God. People that has never been born again. That there is a God in heaven above reaching a hand all the way down from heaven tonight. And you know what His message is to you tonight? It's not how wicked you've been. It's not how wicked you are. But God's message for you tonight is come. What was His message? Come, ye that have no money to buy, come and buy me. Amen. God walked right through the garden. He said, Adam, where art thou? This is where we met. This is where we came together. Help me now tonight, Lord. Amen. This is right here. It's where we always been. This shall come to pass, the Bible says, in the last day, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know why? Because the Spirit cried, come. Amen. And the church cried, come. And God in heaven above tonight cried, come. Amen. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It is still come. Amen. A lot of times that, and I think you're less guilty of it than most, but a lot of times when we look down on the drug addict, when we look down on the drunkard, when we look down on the adulterers, a lot of times, or the adulterer, a lot of times, you know what our message would be? It would be a message of condemnation. Come on now. You're looking at me funny. You ain't got over that. Tell me, oh Lord. Amen. It would be a message of judgment. I'm not defending any of those things. Amen. The Bible plainly teaches us that those people that do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. But I also know that the Bible said, and such was some of ye. Help me, O Lord. And you know what? Tonight, if we are a saint of God, if we're a child of God, you know what separates us from the lost? You say it's our goodness. You're dreaming. You ain't got no goodness. Our righteousness, you're dreaming our righteousness is that but filthy rag. The only thing in the world that separates us tonight from the most vilest sinner that ever walked on the face of this earth is when He said, come. We did just what the disciples did. We came. Oh, I wish I could preach to you tonight. Amen. I don't believe I didn't come this way. I don't say it boasting. Amen. But I don't have to preach tonight. I'm getting to the place I refuse to preach if I ain't got a message from God. Tell me, oh Lord, I'm getting like the fellow that was down in the basement. He was there, Brother Jamie, holding revival. And it come time for church to start, and the pastor said, where's he at? Well, he's down in the basement. Amen. After a while, he said, well, we're going to have to turn it over to him. Where's he at? He's down in the basement. He said, well, go down there and get him. He went down there and he came back, and he said, what's he doing? He said, down there talking to somebody. Amen. So after a while, he said, well, we got to have a preacher now. Said he went down there, he come back, said, what's he saying now? Said he's still there talking. He said, who's he talking to? He said, I don't know, but I heard him tell him, if you don't go, I ain't going. Hello? Amen. Well, I know I ramble all over the world, but how many times would we as preachers, amen, and a lot of other things, how many times would we have been better off if we said, God, if you ain't going, I ain't going. Amen. If you ain't going with me, I ain't going nowhere. But if you'll go with me, amen, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind tonight that God sent me here tonight to tell you, amen, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care where you've been. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what kind of shape your life's in tonight, that God is saying the same thing to you that He says to all the rest of us. He's saying, come, come, and let us reason together. And though your skins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I'm telling you tonight, Lord, help me, that this book, from start to the finish, has a message for every one of us. And that message is to come. Amen. Come out of the world. Think about the time that it's in there. Come, come, come. Brother Gerald, that's what it is. Amen. I'm glad tonight. Amen. I'm glad tonight. Help me, oh Lord. Come. I got a lot more to preach to you. You know whether I'm going to preach it to you or not. Amen, because I'm feeling so good right now, I'm just wanting to come. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. You say, well, I've been saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost for 30 years. What's the message for me? I'm glad you ask. Amen, because God gave me one for you too. You know what it is? It's come. Amen. Come. Come on now. Help me here tonight, Lord. A lot of us, amen, we've forgotten what the message is. It's always been that. It'll always be that. Come. Come up on the mountain. Come up a little higher. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Come unto me and cast thy cares upon me. I know tonight, amen, a lot of times, and I know your good pastor ain't guilty of that, but a lot of preacher gets involved, amen, in their sermon that nobody else has preached, amen, in their sermon, Brother Jamie, that'll go over, amen, that they have forgotten the message of God, which is come, 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 amen, if the highway of holiness church ever gets to the place that its message is not come, amen, lock the doors up, go on a 6-month pastor if you can. Amen. Pray and seek God till you get the presence of God back in your life. And you know what will happen. Amen. What was it David said? Amen. Wash me, O Lord. And I'm not getting it word for word. It wasn't part of my message, but he said, wash me, O Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. And then what was he saying a little later? Then shall I do what? Then shall I teach transgression thy way. I'm telling you tonight that the church is sitting around wondering why nothing's happened. And God's talking to the church and saying, come. When the church gets right, they'll go out and witness to the lost. Now, I ain't getting this out like I wanted to. I know I'm not. Right now, I ain't feeling what Brother Jarrett was talking about a while ago. And I know the whole thing's a waste of time if we don't feel that convicting spirit of God. Come, come, come. He passed the fisherman down there by the old boat. And what did he say to him? He said, come. Amen. Leave your nets and come, and I'll make you fishers of men. Oh, I wonder tonight. Amen. You remember there was a time that the Lord looked down on the city of Jerusalem and he wept over it. And he said, how oft would I have called you unto me? How oft would I have gathered you as a hen doeth her chicks? How oft, he said, would I have greeted you? Amen. Another scripture, you know what he said about him? Amen. He said, because you knewest not the Lord in the day of thy visitation. Can I preach to you here tonight? Amen. If you're lost and undone without God, or if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost for 30 years and sat there on the pew and died and dried up, ain't felt nothing in 20 years, come on now. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong testifying I'm saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost as long as you're feeling what you're testifying about. But if you're just trying to drum up some good feelings, it's time you forgot about your testimony and got in an altar somewhere and listen to what God's saying to you and get the Spirit, amen, to testify. Help me, Lord. I'm rambling all over the place tonight. I just got one night. I got to get it all out. Amen. I used to preach a lot on worship, and I still preach some on worship, and it's a needful thing. We need to worship. God kind of checked me. I sure believe it was God. God kind of checked me one time. And I'm not saying this is the words God used, but this is the message God gave me. He said, son, you're trying to get people excited when they ain't got nothing to be excited about. Hello. Amen. Brother Jamie, as I said, I'm not saying that was the words God used, but I knew exactly what God was saying. He said, you're trying to get people excited when they ain't got nothing to be excited about. Right. Yeah. You get somebody that'll listen to God a few times when God says, come. Come on, amen. You listen, you didn't get a hold of somebody, amen. It's like Peter, James, and John. Amen. Somebody said, well, the Lord just chose them. I really don't believe that's hardly the words. I think it was because they chose the Lord. I think it was because there were times that he said, come, and guess what? That was the three that went. Now, I know later on sometimes he'd call them by name and say, come. But the Lord knows who's going to come, and the Lord knows who ain't going to come. Amen. But we like be like Peter, James, and John. And every time the Lord said come, amen, we'd come. Every time he said come and see, Brother Tim, we'd go and see. Glory be to the Lamb of God. I want to tell you something tonight. Amen. You say you'd have to get them to worship. No, you wouldn't. If they ever get in touch with God like that and get a relationship with God like that, you couldn't tie them to a pew with ropes. You couldn't gag them. You couldn't tie their hand behind their back and keep them from worshiping God. The reason we don't have more worshipers is because we don't have more followers. Help me, oh Lord. I'm trying not to take all night. I want to go back to that message I said about I preached there when it said he would turn us to his own country and his disciples follow him. And I don't mind telling you, I'm preaching part of this over. I don't normally do this, but I feel like sharing it with you. Amen. God will visit you in places that God ain't about to live. That make any sense at all to you? God will come to you in places. And I hear people saying, well, God blessed me here before. That don't mean God's still there. God will come and visit you in places that he will not live. Hello? He came there for one expressed purpose a lot of time, and that was to reach out and take somebody by the hand and say, come. Come on now. But that doesn't mean that's where God dwells. That doesn't mean that the next person could go back there and find God. Come on now. How many of you knows Brother Jim Gillis? Amen. How many knows where Brother Jim Gillis felt the tug of God and the pull of God and got right with God? Now, I know a lot of you here are too young to remember him. And I'm glad you are. Just make sure you don't remember none of the rest of this crazy bunch. Hello? Brother Jim got saved, or God dealt with him, and I guess he may have actually went home and got saved. But Jim Gillis met God, according to his own testimony, at a Van Halen rock concert. Hello? I hope this makes sense to you. Hello? I said he met God at a Van Halen rock concert. One of the worst groups existing at that time. In fact, even in that concert that Brother Jim was in, if I'm remembering that correctly, one of them stood up and said, not even God can save somebody in a place like this. And when he said that, the presence of God gripped Jim Gillis' heart. And Jim Gillis got saved. Come on now. I hope I'm saying this reverently, and God knows I'm trying to say it right. For some reason that night, God chose to go. And we know the reason. God went to a Van Halen rock concert. But Brother Taylor, I wouldn't want to have went back the next night looking for him there. Y'all still out there? Amen. God visits you in places that he will not live. God comes to you at places and times for one purpose, and that is to lead you out from where you are at. Amen. God visits homes, amen, that's in a mess. God visits homes where, amen, mama's a drug addict and daddy's a drug addict. Are y'all still out there? But that's not where he dwells. And after a while, after you've agreed, after you've answered his call, God will say, now I can't live here any longer. I'm going to my country. Oh, Lord, I wish I could preach. I'm still trying, Brother Taylor. I still ask you, make a preacher out of me, God. No time. I've shared it with you before, but I had long hair when I got saved. I had a lot of things in my life when I got saved. And God saved me. But it wasn't very long. God had started speaking to my heart. And said, come. Oh, Lord, I wish. Come and go with me to a better land. God will never lead you anywhere except to a better land. You may be very comfortable where you're at. You may be very happy where you're at. And you really don't like that pull that you feel on your heart. You kind of resist that pull because you don't want to go nowhere else. I'm not talking about now running from church to church. I'm talking about spiritually. You just really don't want to go anywhere else. And you resist that pull. But can I tell you again that you can't always see what God's got for you. But I can promise you this, everywhere he ever leads you will be a better land than where he led you out. And every time, I've preached this lately too, but I'll just use just another little thing too here, and I'll get out of your way. Church, please pray. Amen. Wim and I have moved, I think, I counted up one time, and we moved about 30 times. I still don't like it. I'm talking about the natural now, moving from one house to another. I ain't never got to the place I like it. I see these pictures and these magazines advertising these moving companies, and everybody's down there with a box in their hand, just grinning like it's the greatest experience they've ever had. I think, they ain't never moved. Amen. But we did learn, Brother Larry Dalton shared this with me. I preached on moving at his church, and he made mention of this later, and I'm not ashamed to use what somebody else used. If you are, you're going to have to quit preaching out of the Bible, because somebody's used every bit of it a number of times. But Brother Dalton made mention. He said, every move you make, and boy, women, I could testify to that. We gave stuff away. We still got stuff stored in Indiana I wish I could do something with. We gave stuff away. We had 2 or 3 yard sales. We did everything in this world because there was some stuff we just didn't want to move. You know why? It really wasn't worth moving. God help me tonight. I'd hope so much I could preach to you tonight. I thought about that, Brother Jamin, and between me and Brother Dalton, I'll tell you this way. Every time you move, you'll find out you've got some things you don't really need. And you'll leave them beside you. Leave them behind you. And you'll travel on. Oh, Lord, help me. The reason some people tonight, and I'm going to close very shortly, the reason some people tonight is no closer to God than you've been for the last 15 years, you have never moved. He has said, come time after time after time. Yes, sir. And you never came. And you kept adding to the clutter. Come on now. You kept adding to the garage. You moved out to one car, and before long you had to move out the other car, and you just all cluttered down and weighted down with everything. Y'all still out there?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But then there comes a time that you have to move, and you say, you know what? I can do without that. I really don't need that. You'd be surprised at some of the things in your life you could do without if you just ever start to move. I read it in closing. I read a story a while back, and then before I ever had a chance to use it, I heard Brother Gary Lee use it, but I'm still going to use it. I read the story before I heard him, and I'll not get it word for word. I'm not even trying to, but I read a story about a mother and a daughter. And they were poor. They didn't have much. And the daughter just felt like that she had been denied so much. Has the devil ever come to you and told you about all the things you missed out on because you're living for God? She felt like, Brother Tim, that she had just been left out of so many things. And her mother knew that probably, and you may have heard the story, but her mother knew that probably someday that she would leave. And sure enough, that happened. She left, went into a big city, and her mother knew what waited on her in that big city. Oh, if our children, and I was the same way, and you were too, but oh, if our children today should somehow just see what we see and know what some of us know. But they don't. As someone's already mentioned, the prince of this world has blinded their eyes. They don't see it, Brother Jamie. But that young girl, pure, innocent, virtuous girl, went into the city. And after a while, what little money she had was gone. And I don't want to be too plain with this, but after a while, her money was gone, and the same thing happened to that young girl that happens to a lot of them when they got out in the city. Before long, she was a streetwalker. I'll just leave it at that. No. Before long, she was selling her own body. Because the world's never satisfied with just pulling you in it. That's not the purpose the devil has, just to get you into the world. The purpose the devil has is to destroy you. But the Bible says that the devil came to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And in all honesty, he'd rather steal what you've got and destroy what you are than he had to kill you. Because he'd rather laugh at you, hold you up before others. But that young girl came down from the upstairs room one morning, one night, hating herself for what she had came, what she had became. And when she came down there in the bottom of that, what she didn't know is her mother had taken every bit she had and had these flyers printed up. And she brought them to the city, and she went around through the city putting her face on it. And when that girl saw that flyer, if I remember it right, she turned it around. And on the back of it, Brother Tim, that mother had written these words to that daughter. She said, "Wherever you are, whatever you've become, please come home." Oh, God. And I don't have any idea really tonight who all I'm preaching to. But if someone would come to the piano, I don't guess I've ever preached when I felt like I did a good job. I don't feel like I did a real good job tonight. But I'm telling you tonight that there is a God in heaven that is saying to you tonight, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've became, please come home. Stand with us, would you, Father? Help me, God. Help me, oh God. Lord, please, God, with your love and your spirit, move on some hearts, God. Lord, I don't want to go back to that bed tonight feeling, God, like a failure. Lord, even more than that, I don't want to go back to that bed knowing, God, because you knew who was going to be here, knowing, God, that somebody would be here tonight that's just waiting on the sound of your voice. God, they've questioned in their heart if they could even be saved. The devil has told them they've gone too far. There's no hope for them. But even if they cannot hear it tonight, God, I can hear it. I hear that voice, God. And I hear it softly saying, come, come, come. God, deal with their hearts tonight. Would you? In Jesus' name. Go ahead, run this place softly for just a moment, would you? I think the message is for everybody. Because no matter where you're at, God's higher than you are. And no matter how holy you may become, God's far more holy than what you are. Your entire Christian life will be spent listening to the voice of a loving God saying, come, come. But I know also that there's some here tonight that maybe the message had more meaning to than it did to others. And you might say, Brother Cheek, I don't really even understand what you've preached. You don't have to. You just have to understand that God's got his hand reached down and he's saying, come. Either the heavy laden, come and cast up your cares upon me. Is there one? Is there somebody here that would say, that's all I've been waiting on, was just to hear that voice saying, come.
How'd I do it, preacher? I'll tell you the best way. Just kind of take a deep breath and come just as fast as you can. Don't even give a devil time to talk you out of it. Come. 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 Considering all that the Lord ever said and did, this is a mighty small book. And I believe every word in it's good, true, sound, good for sound doctrine. But I don't feel like I've missed what I said tonight, Brother Taylor. This whole book's about God. God. Are you coming? Are you coming? I try not to be a long-winded preacher. I'm not a long-winded altar service person. But oh, what's at stake here tonight? Come. Come. You that have grown cold on God, come. You that have drifted so far from God, come. You that have rejected the call of God time after time tonight, come. You that are caught up in so much, we condemn formality in our churches, and yet we're as guilty of it as any other movement in the world a lot of times. You that has gotten caught up in all of the formalities of the church, and may I say it, even in the standards of the church, but you've omitted the most important thing of all. And that was coming when God said, come. I don't know whether I did my best or not, but I know one thing. God did his best. God gave his best. And he says, was that not enough? You still not come. May God bless you tonight.
Short days, fun and games to play, then the wandering would be done. The time has slipped away, still you haven't prayed. Sin has bound you for so long, but the Father steps out calling. It's not too late to come back home. Come home, come back. The shepherd's calling you. He has left the 99 to round up the wandering few. For the night will soon be settled, and the foe will go on home. He calls one last time in mercy, come on home.
You.